the Pasuk in Eichel tells us, Kolroid Fair Hitigur Ben Amtsori, that all those who were pursuing Klal Yisrael overtook them Ben Amtsori. This was the particular time where Klal Yisrael was given over into the hands of its enemies. And unfortunately, even at this moment in time, we have a matzav where Klal Yisrael is besakona, where the situation is such that we are in a matzav of difficulty. And we are told that there is a tainis at the beginning and at the end, and in some way these two tanesim bracket this 3 week period of time. It seems to be that in some way Shavuot B'Tammuz is the beginning of the Tzara and Tisha B'Av is the end of the Tzara. In what way, other than historically obviously with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but in what way are these two events of Shavuot B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av a beginning and an end of a Tzara? So we have to go back to the Makor of these two events. In both cases, there was something that took place during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu that created Shiva Asa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, Chet Ha'Egel and the Meraglim. In some way, these are a continuation of one another. How? So before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the world was one of Emes versus Sheker. In other words, that there were only two extreme choices. That of Emes, which doesn't only mean truth, it means more than that, it means reality. Right? When we say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, or Emes Malkeinu Efes Zulosei, don't mean Hashem is true, it means Hashem is the only reality. Efes Zulosei, there is nothingness beyond the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the sum total of reality of Mitzvius. So there was a choice between Emes and Sheker, between reality and complete non-existence. After the chet of Adam HaRishon, what happened is that things got more confused. There comes about a concept of Tov and Ra. The Nachash was not misrepresenting things when the Nachash said, "V'yisem kelekim yodei tov v'ra." By eating of the Eitz Hadas, you will create Tov and Ra. It's true. That is both something which is a positive, possibly, and in many ways a negative. What happens as a result of the hate is that things aren't as clear anymore. Until that moment in time, it was obvious that by going this way, a person is following a path of non-existence, and by going that way, they are doing something which is Mekayim themselves and the whole of Bria. Afterwards, it's not so posh anymore. A person has to distinguish. A person has to use their own Seichel and the Torah as a guide to find out what is Tov and what is Ra, because it's not inherently obvious anymore. Things are now a bit ruvia. Things are now far more confused. What Adam did by eating of the Eitz Hadas is he brought into the world the potential for hate. Until that moment in time, hate has to always exist in some form. There has to be a potential. But it was an external potential. The hate of Adam HaRishon meant that there was now a real potential to be hate. And then the next three chatoim, Kina, Taiva, and Kavi, Kayan, Hevel, Der HaMabu, and Der HaFlava, they created the actuality of Chet. From the potential, Adam HaRishon brings into the world the potential for Chet, makes it close to home, it brings the fight internally, and then they actually practiced those chatoim. Then, having brought chet as a reality into this world, there was the mutton, the incident of mutton terror, the time of mutton terror, when Kal Yisrael heard the first two tzivuyim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'nichi Hashem Elokecha and of L'yeh Lecha. So in one case, Nishrash Torah B'libom, when they heard V'nichi Hashem Elokecha, and Neka Yetzer Hara. What happened as a result of hearing these two tzivuyim is that, first of all, Neka Yetzer Hara, they are no longer going to be practicing chait, because that's been taken away, and even the potential for chait is now far away. The result of hearing those two tzivuyim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them back, as we know, to the madrega of Adam Arishon Kedem HaChait. In practical terms, what that means is that chait was no longer a choice of tov v'ra. Chait now became Emes versus Sheker again. However, having been at Har Sinai for 40 days, Kal Yisrael was then the victim of the chait of the Egel. What the Egel does, although the Egel is normally defined as Avodah Zarah, in actual terms, in terms of how many people were put to death, one of the three methods, because of Avodah Zarah, minimal number, 30,000, 1%. So in terms of how many people were actually involved in the actions of Avodah Zarah, very small number. But what it did is it brought back into the world the potential for chait. It recreated chait Adam HaRishon. At a time where we had been restored to the level of Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChait, the Egel brought us back to the level of Adam HaRishon La'achar HaChait. Once again, there was the possibility of moving away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Meraglim actualized chait. Meraglim in many ways is a repetition of the chait ha'egel. Once again, Klal Yisrael were being given the nisoyan of having to deal directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu without Moshe Rabbeinu. In the case of the egel, because they thought he was no longer, they are down the mehoyonai. And in the case of the Meraglim, because they knew that Moshe Meis and Yeshua Machnis, they knew that they would have to do this on their own. In both cases, they are confronting a situation where there's no buffer zone, where there's no intermediary, where there's no manhig per se, where they have a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in both cases, they said, it's too much. We can't. But in the first case, the effect was to bring about the potential for chait into the world, and in the second case, all of the men sinned with the Meraglim, and they were all wiped out. In the first case, as we said, only 1% were involved in the tragedy directly. Although it is a chait, b'yom pekadati, it's a chait which, all the way through the Zoros, it will resonate, because it brought about the potential of chait into the world. It brought Tov HaRa back into the world. So its effects are enormous. In terms of action, that's the Meraglim, there was a gezeira on all the men of the day, because they all were actually involved in the chait. The difference between Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Shavuos B'Tammuz is potential, and Tisha B'Av is the actualization. And we see how the Torah in this week's Sedra uses words to show us exactly the choices that Klal Yisrael were making. Kodesh Baruch Hu, or Moshe Rabbeinu, in relaying the chait of the Egel, says, "V'tabchem asher martem levad yeh." You were worried about your children at the time of the Meraglim. Ubneichem asher layodu hayoim tov v'ra.
Shach, that's the definition of your children, Ubneichem. In Parsha Shach, before you don't find this as a definition. Ubneichem ashlo yodu hayayim tevara. What are you doing? You're bringing tevara into existence. And that's what Kalev says. Tevah ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. That's what the fight is over. Is this tev or is this ra? The fight is over. How did it happen? How did a nation that had heard Aleichi Hashem Elokecha, how did they come this Nazi? So at Matan Torah we are told there were Shemim Esanira, Reim Esanishma, which in simple terms doesn't mean anything to us. Doesn't mean, we can't understand what that means. The Gemara tells us that Megillas Eicha is written, at least the first four Prokim, in the state of the other place. And if you go through Prokim Beit Gimel and Dalet, although it is written Alpi the Seder of the other place, there are two Psukim which are transposed. The Posuk starts with letter P and the Posuk starts with letter Ayin are written in reverse order. The Gemara says why? Omru bepeh mashaloi rol ba'ayin. They said things which they hadn't seen. And there's a specific reference to the Meraglim. They said things which they hadn't seen. And the Marshal points out, why isn't it that way in Perik Aleph? In order for you to know that it should be written Kaseda. Because if all of them were written the wrong way around, then you wouldn't be medayik anything being wrong. But from the fact that Perik Aleph is written the proper way, then you realize that that's what's lacking in Beit Gimel and Dalet. So they said things which they hadn't seen. In which case the kasha is, if they hadn't seen it, then it shouldn't be the pair before the ayin. The posuk, the letter ayin shouldn't be there at all. It wasn't there, posh. It should not have the letter ayin because they didn't see anything. They just made it up. It's shekin. The answer is that there are two ways to be tefes, to understand something. You can hear somebody speak to you, in which case the method that we hear things is syllable after syllable. By definition, when you're hearing somebody speak to you, were they to say it all in one go, you wouldn't be able to hear anything. Unless you can distinguish the individual sounds, the whole thing is just a mess. Imagine hearing a symphony where each member of the orchestra plays their instrument at the same time. It's cacophony. You can't distinguish the sounds. It makes no sense. When we're using the sense of hearing, it has to be in stages, piece by piece. That's how we accumulate. That's how we absorb the information. Whereas when we see something, we see it all in one go. We open our eyes, we see the horizon. It's all there. It's there in one go. The advantage of seeing things is that we can absorb everything at once. Whereas with hearing things, it takes the time to process. The disadvantage is that because we've only got that one time to see it, if we see it wrongly there and then, we can never recover. If that immediate look is biased, is subjective, then everything that follows is going to follow down that path. So it has tremendous potential and tremendous danger. And therefore it's not surprising that all the major chatoim start with vision. Vatere ha'isha. She saw. That's the beginning of the hate. She saw things from a subjective perspective. And from then on, she convinced her husband, she convinced herself. Perspective is wrong. What is the opening word of the Parsha Sa'ega? Vayar. Okay, they couldn't see, he wasn't there. Loiro, actually he hadn't turned up yet. Vayar means they're perspective. The whole of the chayim of Meraglim is to see the land, and Vayarum is pri ha'aretz, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by saying Im Yiruk, they will see Homanad Sai Vayaruha. All those who rebelled against me, they can't see. They're not able to see it correctly. Which means that they did see something. They did see things. But everything they saw was as a result of their perspective. Hikdimu per la'ayin, because Taka, there was an ayin. They did see things. But all that they saw was wrong. Because they were hikdim per la'ayin. And therefore, everything that followed was something that they Taka saw, but from the wrong perspective. They came to the conclusion it's not possible to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So we've got the letter ayin in Megillas Eicha. Because part of the tragedy was that the Taka did see things. And all of those things were wrong. All of those things was as a result of Hikdimu Per La'ayin. And Klal Yisrael ended up spending the next 40 years in the Midbar and bringing the actualization of chet into the world, for which an entire dor was wiped out. So what is the antidote? How do we deal with it? What is our chiyuv? How do we achieve the reversal of the chet of Shiva of the Talmud and the chet of Churban HaBayis of Tishrei? Beginning of this week's Sedra, Mesh Rabbeinu says, Hashem Elokeinu Diber Eleinu B'chayra Etzleinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to us on Har Sinai. And then Moshe, that's the opening words with which Moshe launches, so to speak, Sefer Devarim. The Gaon writes, why do we choose these two shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokeinu? And he says, Umar Sheposach B'Shnei HaShemes Eilu. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu starts the whole of Mishnah Torah with these two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because these two names are Kolel Kol HaTorah Kula and Kol HaShemes. These two names, Hashem Elokeinu, is Kolel all of Torah and all of the shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's in there. Why? He says, because these two names are Nistar mitzad Atzmusim and Nigle mitzad Maisov. It's the Gaon verse, which means the shame Yudke Vovke is the shame Nistar. It's the name that tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond us, that we can never understand. Nista, it's hidden. There's a chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Atzmusay, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzem, which we never understand. We're finite. We can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki lo yirani ha'odam v'chai, it's not profitable. There's an aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which will always be Nista. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel, and we're not. Kodesh Baruch Hu at the same time is Nigle Mitzad Maisav, which means that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have access to connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to creating Kaviyachal a Shutzas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we daven and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, that Tzadik Goyzev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, that there's a relationship that we can create with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nigle Mitzad Maisav, which is Elokeinu, which agav is why in the first perek of Bereishis the only shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu you find is Elokeinu. You do not find Hashem, because the whole of Maisa Bereishis is HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself in the world. That's what Bereishis is. Before Bereishis, basement garnish, right? We can't go back before Bereishis, but from Bereishis Bar Elokeinu, that's from that moment on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a shaychus to him. And that's the whole of the first period. The whole of Maisa Bereishis is Elokeinu. And every time we make a bracha, we say those two shemes, Nistar and Nigla. Our chiyuv is to understand those two ideas. Our chiyuv is to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel, is Echod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which is beyond anything else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes Malkeinu Echos Lossos. That's one chiyuv that we have. But at the same time, we have a separate chiyuv of understanding that we are placed here to create a shutfus. We are not just robots. We are not just puppets. We are here because we can create. We can emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the mitzvahs. We are here to do, not just to be recipients of. And although it sounds contradictory, Hashem Elokeinu sound contradictory, and to a certain level they are, in our finite minds they are contradictory, and it's that underpins the whole question of Yediyah versus Bechira. It's the same idea, just expressed in a different way. There are things that we don't understand, but the nature of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set up this world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nistar, but we still have a relationship Elokeinu. And that's why only that shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is subject to all of the different suffixes. It's not just Elokim. It's Elokecha, Elokai, Elokeinu. It's a relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With Yudkei Vovkei, you cannot say my Yudkei Vovkei and your Yudkei Vovkei. But with Elokim, you can. Because we're creating a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is part of Elohim Hashem Elokecha. The things that we have to know is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a relationship, not just with Klal Yisrael as a whole, but Elokecha, with you, singular. Each individual can create that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The antidote for the Chet HaEger and the Chet HaMeragli is for us to understand, firstly, that there's Emes versus Sheker, that there's Hashem, there's Yudke Vodke, and secondly, for us to understand our potential. We don't have to feel that we can't cope without Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have to feel that there's no way out of this. We have to know that if we're placed here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the kelim with which to undo everything that has happened. And hence the idea expressed in the Medrash in the present tense, Kala Misabal al Yerushalayim Zoyche V'Roye V'Vinyona. It doesn't say Yizke V'Yire. It says somebody who's Misabal Yerushalayim sees Binyan Yerushalayim. Because we have to understand that by keeping the Avelus alive, it's not an Avelus Yishon. Keeping the Avelus alive means that we believe in the Geula, and that we believe we have the potential to bring about the Geula. And that is the way to undo the Chet HaEger and the Chet HaMeragim. That is the way to undo the Kol Roi Tseah HaSigua Ben Amtzarim, by realizing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and who we are. The idea of these two aspects is expressed in Eicha, people who have such potential, how could they be? How could they have fallen to such a madrega? And the origins of Eicha are Ayeka, the Ayeka of Adam Rishon, the Adam Rishon who knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ayeka, where are you in comparison to where you should be? If we understand the potential that we have, if we understand what we can achieve, then we wouldn't be a Kirion Nemona, would not become a Zayna, and we wouldn't be Yoshua Vodod. We have to understand how much we can achieve. What is the method to bring this to fruition? So Sefer Devarim is called Mishnah Torah, and it's often explained that Mishnah Torah is a repetition of all that which has preceded it. But if that's the case, it's an exceedingly poor choice of name. Sefer Bereishis, Kamat, does not occur in Sefer Dvarim. Meisa Bereishis isn't there, the Mabul isn't in there, the Ovos aren't in there, the Chiras Yosef isn't in there, but Sefer Bereishis isn't there. As far as Sefer Shemot is concerned, there are bits of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, but most of it is missing. And there is, other than the midst of the Kurim, you have to come to the Mishkan, and in the beginning of Parashat Shoftim, there's a reference in Parashat Re'eh that you go to that Mokem Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha, that Binyan HaMishkan, Klei HaMishkan, not there, and it's 4.5 tezras of Sefer Shemot. Most of the mitzvahs of Sefer Vayikra and the Korbanos, Ma'aser Korbanos, are not in Sefer Dvarim either. And although the episodes of Sefer Bamidbar, the Meraglim, are in Sefer Dvarim, the mitzvahs that exist there are mostly not in Sefer Dvarim either. So as Mishnah Torah, it's a very poor resume. But one of the things it does do is it's a Mishnah of Torah for me. Those mitzvahs that I have to repeat on an ongoing basis, the mitzvahs that I have to have constantly, the mitzvah of Avat Hashem, the mitzvah of Yirat Hashem, the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, those mitzvahs are in Sefer Dvarim. The Mishnah Torah that I have in order to get me to the level of understanding Hashem Elokeinu, that's in Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim contains the method to get to the other four Svarim of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. If I understand on an ongoing basis who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and where I am. And this is expressed at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe and tells him about Geulas Mitzrayim. Because Geulas Mitzrayim is the makor for all future redemption. If we want to know how to bring about Geula, we have to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets the parameters for Geula. In that, we have the paradigm example for all the other exiles and Geulos that are to follow. The Maral points out in their mitzvah that the difference between Golos, between Geula and Geula, is the Aleph. And the Aleph refers both to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and also to ourselves. Those are the two things that we have to put into the picture. But the Torah says, as we know, the Arba Lashonos Geula, Vitzesi, Vitzalti, Vigo'alti, Velokachti. And then, eventually it says Vehevesi. There's a fifth expression. How do we get from the first four to the fifth? So, I once heard an idea from Rabbi Lech. He says that Seder night, we have five kosas, not four. But we don't do anything with the fifth. We pour it out, and we leave it there, and then we shake the table and say, Eliyahu HaNavi drank the first half of the kos. Right? And then we come down the next morning and we use it, something we use for Kiddush. Vinish V, we don't drink it. So why pour it out? What's the point of having the fifth kos? So he points out that between the first four Lashonos of Geula and the fifth, there is a condition. For the first four Lashonos, Lachain Emor Livnei Yisrael Ani Hashem, Vaytzeisi, I'll do it. But in order to get to the fifth level, the ultimate Geula, of having Eretz Yisrael and a Beis Hamikdash, V'yadatem Ki Ani Hashem, there has to be a Yidia. We pour out the fifth cup for people to think, for people to reflect. There is the potential to have a fifth kos, and we have it within us. But it's not an autopilot. You only get to the fifth kos with reflection. That's exactly the problem that the Novi writes about in this week's Haftarah. Yodar sher koneu chamor evus ba'olam. An animal even knows where everything is coming from. However, when it comes to Kol Yisrael, Yisrael lo yoda. We don't have this idea. Why? Because ami lo hisbonam. We didn't think about it. Didn't take it to heart. we have the potential through Mishnah Torah to undo Chet Ha'egel and Chet Ha'Meraglim, but that needs a Yediyah. It needs a Hisboninus. We have to reflect on what and who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and we have to reflect on what our potential is. If we do that, then we can be Zeicha to the fifth level, the ultimate level of Geula of the Hevesi. If we have the Yedatem Ki Ani Hashem, and we have an understanding in what that means in terms of our relationship, in terms of Hashem Aleikenu, then we can be Zeicha to the Geula Ho'asida, the Geula Shalem.